Nick reads the news. I could have gone a lot longer than that, but I figured that was getting annoying. March 27th, 2015, Nick reads the news. A lot has been going on. We've got a lot to touch on today. So we're going to hit it real quick. Like, if you guys have been paying any attention to the news, you probably know the top story, but we're going to save the top story for near the end, as we always do. I had to take a sip of wine. Before we get into the news, I'm going to tell a little story about something that happened this week. And I'm not putting this on the main show for reasons that will become apparent. So maybe you guys knew that there was a girl at work who happened to recently crash her car, and she also recently had a baby in her belly, right? And so, see her on Monday. Everything's fine. And by the way, this is like my best, like my work friend, right? My only person at work that I would say is like the closest to being my friend. There's this other guy there that builds PCs and plays a lot of video games, and he's kind of cool too. But he's a little young. He's a youngin'. He's like 22. So he's way too young for me, obviously. Anyway, so this girl, we'll call her Joyce, okay? So I see Joyce on Monday. Joyce is fine. Coming Tuesday. I get an announcement in my email from my boss saying, hey, you should probably come to the morning meeting. Now, we have this morning meeting twice a week that I usually don't go to because I hate meetings. And I'm not going to stand in a room where 15 people are all standing around talking about what's happened for the week. And they just talk to each other and go, yeah, that order's going pretty well. And there's no reason for 13 other people to be listening into that conversation. It's a waste of 15 minutes. And it's also like when you have a 15-minute meeting, that is actually way more detrimental to workflow, because like going up to the meeting, you're looking at the clock going, is it time to go to the meeting yet? Can I start anything? You're like, nah, I can't. Might as well just wait till the meeting. Then after the meeting, it's another 5 minutes because you got to check Facebook again. What happened in that 15 minutes? The whole to-do. So I don't even go to meetings when I can avoid it. Anyway, send me an email. My boss sends me an email, says, Nick, you might want to come to the morning meeting. So that's never a good sign. Go to the morning meeting. It's all the same BS as normal. And then at the end of the meeting, Joyce's manager says, well, there's no easy way to say this, but Joyce lost her baby last night. And the baby was in the third try, as they call it. Not far in, like, the just, like, if there was a date of entering the third trimester, it was like probably only a week since that date, so it was not all the way. Don't have any details on what happened. But here's the thing. The first moment, like, that announcement happened, inside me, like, this is the split-second reaction I had. I said, oh, that's really sad. Quick, act sad, act sad, act sad, act sad. Everyone's looking, act sad. So they won't think I'm a psycho. And then I actually was like, oh, I don't have to act. I really am, like, actually sad for what has happened. So that's real bad. She hasn't been in all week. I don't know even what to do, like, when she gets back in. Like, she's my friend at work, I suppose, but she knows better than to be like, Nick, I need to tell you my feelings. Like, she knows not to do that. So that's good. It's not going to be like, Nick, you're my best friend. We really need to hang out, and I really need you to make me feel better about my baby, because she knows I'm not going to be able to do that. But I'm just like, what do I do? Like, when she comes back, do I just act like nothing ever happened? I guess you're always supposed to say, I'm very sorry. Oh, here's the other thing. So the stupid card goes around, right? Like, that doesn't seem, like, a card is something you send out when it's like someone's birthday or like their great-great-grandma is dead and it was expected. Like, this is insane. Like, it feels like the worst thing that could possibly happen to a person has happened, and here's our contribution from the office. It's a card. And here's the other thing. Since she's my work friend, she knows my shtick. My stick. Stick or shtick? Or shick razors. Anyway, she knows my trick. There's a lot of weird words going on here. She knows my thing with cards, where if it's a birthday, I open the card, I write, "Yay, Nick." If it's a sympathy, I open the card and I go, "Sorry to hear, Nick." So I can't do that, because she knows the thing. And she'll know it doesn't mean anything. So they hand me the card, and I, like, hold the card for, like, 20 minutes. I'm like, I don't freaking know what to do with this card. Do I write nothing? Do I just pass it along because there's no point in signing this card? This card seems so underwhelming in comparison to what has happened. Or do I finally think of something to say? Or do I say something cliche like, "Oh my God, I am so sorry. Everyone is cheering for you to not be sad," or whatever they write. I write, "There are no words. Everyone is here for you, Nick." I think that was the nicest thing I could have said, because it's the truth. Because there really is nothing you can write. So we'll see what happens. I guess she'll come in maybe next week, and I don't know what to do. Like, do I be funny? Because I don't know how to be anything else around people. I probably will just avoid her, to be honest. If I see her, I'll go, "I'm really sorry." Oh, fuck. Gotta edit that name out. "Joyce, I'm very sorry. Bye?" I don't know. On to the news! Well, that was 7 minutes of sad. Here we go. I know you people love to get your news from this here news source called Nick Reads the News, so we'll be hitting up world news right now. Well, this is not world news. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Woman faces 7 years in prison after she was convicted of multiple charges Wednesday for firing a bullet into a McDonald's drive-thru when staff forgot to put bacon on her cheeseburger. Shanika Monique Torres, 30, ordered a bacon cheeseburger at the McDonald's on February 10th, 2014. Well, this is an old story. I got to turn down my mic a little bit. I'm yelling. But it arrived without bacon. She complained to a manager and was offered a free burger. Okay. Then what happened? At about 3 a.m., Torres and her friend returned to order another bacon cheeseburger. What are you doing? "Man, that bacon cheeseburger was free. I got to go get me another. This burger also came without bacon." Okay, well, okay, she's got a point. Like, how can you screw up? Okay, so if you're the worker doing the bacon cheeseburger, like, "Oh my God, I messed up the bacon cheeseburger once. I better not mess up the bacon cheeseburger again." Came again without bacon? And Torres verbally lashed out at a worker before pulling out her handgun and firing into the restaurant. Sounds like it was one shot. No one was injured. She was arrested at her home 30 minutes later. So you shoot. You drive off with your non-bacon cheeseburger, and her defense attorney argued that she discharged her weapon by accident, and there was no correlation with the baconless burgers. That's weird. The jury convicted her of carrying a concealed weapon, discharging a firearm into a building, and felony use of a firearm. That's strange. So I'm yelling. So their defense attorney is saying she accidentally fired the gun, but still, if you got it into the building, you would have had to have been pointing it. And how would you have been pointing it if it wasn't related to the bacon? No idea there. Speaking of fats, jury wants life in prison for a woman who ran her granddaughter to death. Alabama jury has recommended life in prison for a woman convicted of running in the running death of her 9-year-old granddaughter. Let's see. A The jury voted 7-5? Oh, that she should be spared the death penalty. Okay, so I guess, I mean, you can't... I don't even know that this is murder, so let's scroll down. Prosecutors argued that she had shown no remorse and the crime was so heinous that she should be executed. okay, this is bad. I'm going to need to find a new source for this, actually. So let me just do a quick Google search. Okay, so I'll edit out some of that silence after I found this story. It was a little after 4 p.m., and the grandmother was with the child. The neighbors reported. This is from the neighbor. He reported he could hear the woman yelling, "Keep running, I didn't tell you to stop." Savannah was running, something she was good at, the same pattern back and forth across the yard to the fence at the road and back again. So it sounds like what happened is that she had some lie about like having candy or eating candy, and the grandma's like, "How dare you defy my candy orders? You will run." Hours later, Savannah collapsed in the yard of a seizure. Oh, dear. And she died 2 days later after what two pathologists said was prolonged physical exertion. That sucks. So she was having a real good workout. Apparently, she was also carrying logs while running. And the fat grandma was like, "You're not going to grow up to be fat like me." Actually, she's not giant, but, you know, she's a little puffy. And so she ran her around the yard and she had a siege. That's too bad. So now she is, the jury is going to vote to put her for life in prison. But how is that even murder? Like, if I yell at someone to run and they don't stop running and they die, do I lose? Do I lose the court game? Unless she had like a whip, which I guess you could say that like as a grow as a authority figure over a child, there is the threat of like, if you don't run, I'm gonna beat you. So run or I'm beating you, and then you run and then you die. I suppose it's kind of murder. I don't know. It's a dangerous territory here if we get to saying grandma can't tell me to run. What if my grandma told me to get her vitamins and I slipped in the kitchen and broke my jawbone? Would she be guilty of jaw murder? I think so. Next story is a video. Uh-oh. Where'd it go? Okay, we're going to skip to this story then because I already have this video ready. It's another episode of Guy Eats Brownies that were laying out on the counter, and he didn't realize what they were.
Well, it tops our news at 6. Now, if you saw a plate full of brownies on the kitchen table, well, you might think they're harmless, too.
Was not the case, though, for an Oakland County dad who had to call 911 after eating several of them, and now his daughter could face drug charges. Jason Culthorpe is live with what happened. Jason?
Well, it all happened just like you might suspect, Devin.
Why do they have to skip to a guy that's in the middle of the road? Okay, so we're in the anchor's chair. We're telling this story. We're going to intro this story. Okay, now we're going to cut to the guy who's live standing in the middle of a road with a microphone to tell you the rest of the story from the middle of the road for no reason.
Police telling me today a Clarkston High School girl baked some tainted treats, hot brownies, and left them out.
Is it because his hair's so good?
Apparently didn't expect anyone to come eat them. Well, she's in a lot of trouble tonight because her dad did, and then he had to call 911. It was Wednesday night in this quiet neighborhood along Deer Lake in Independence Township.
It was a Wednesday night. Quiet neighborhood near Deer Lake. Or is it called Deer Lake? Who the frick knows? But it was a quiet night until the brownies.
Dad ate one of his 17-year-old daughter's brownies. But then something didn't feel right.
The father thought he was having a stroke.
Okay, so now we've cut to a puffy sheriff man with a white beard.
McCabe says the girl told police she got some pot from a friend and baked it in the brownies.
What an idiot.
Left them in the kitchen, but she didn't expect anybody to eat them.
Oakland County's narcotics officers were interviewing the girl at Clarkston High School today.
All right, let's skip ahead.
Of the many questions.
Cooks brownies and lays them out on the kitchen table. Generally, they're there for somebody to eat.
Police are waiting on lab results, and if the brownies were baked, this young lady could be toking up some real trouble.
We're going to take the case to the prosecutors. If it comes back with marijuana or something else illegal, it's going to the prosecutor's office for potential charges. She's 17 years old, so she's an adult in the eyes of the law.
Oh, my goodness.
No, she's not going to get it late. No.
Oh.
This will be a lesson for her and everybody else.
Oh, man. He wants her bad. She's not going to get it late. Oh, no. If this comes back, it's going right to the prosecutor.
Going to get it late. No. No. This will be a lesson for her and everybody else.
So it's going to be some hard lessons because we just did get receive a call back from the undersheriff. Test did come back.
The undersheriff? How do you become an undersheriff? The underwriters. I thought it was deputy. I thought it was sheriff, deputy. Sheriff, undersheriff, deputy, underdeputy, and the deputy dog.
Did get receive a call back from the undersheriff. Test did come back positive for marijuana. No surprise there.
So she's going up to that court. So I guess because she admitted that she cooked some pot. But I think the dad also possessed marijuana in his stomach and in his hand when he ate that brownie. And I want to see how big the dad is because he should not be eating that many brownies all at once. And you guys probably think I've played that story before because I did play a similar story where, like, a guy ate a cake and he's like, I ate the whole cake. Got to go to the hospital. What is this story? I don't even know. I put it in my notes. Oh, we're not going into that. This was a story about, let's see. You know what? It is my job to bring you the news. So let's see if there's a video here we can play.
7 minutes after prison officials...
The title of this is New Documents Reveal Botched Oklahoma Execution Details. Now, this was a big story a couple of years ago. Actually, it was last year in 2014 where a guy was set to be needled up in that execution chair. And instead of doing it correctly, they did it incorrectly and blew up his veins and stuff like that. It's real gross, and I don't really like thinking about it. But it is my job to bring you the news. So, apparently, there's some new documents that have been released. Let's see what the video says.
Start pumping the first drug. Witnesses say inmate Clayton Lockett appeared to be conscious. 16 minutes in, it was clear the execution was not going as planned.
He mumbles, something's wrong. He is lifting his whole upper shoulders and head off the gurney and writhing.
It was then officials closed the blinds, shutting out the media gathered to witness the death of the man convicted of kidnapping, raping, and murdering a young woman who was then buried.
Whoa. Why would you rape and murder that one, dude?
Buried alive. The execution was stopped, but Lockett died of a heart attack.
Wait a minute. I got to go back. I think they just said something weird.
The media gathered to witness the death of the man convicted of kidnapping, raping, and murdering a young woman who was then buried alive.
I kidnapped her. I raped her. I murdered her. Then I buried her alive. Who is... Kidnapping, raping, and murdering her, and then buried her alive, is what she just said.
Kidnapping, raping, and murdering a young woman who was then buried alive. The execution was stopped, but Lockett died of a heart attack.
It was my decision at that time to stop the execution.
Officials used a potent cocktail of three drugs, the first to sedate him, a second to stop his breathing, and the third to stop his heart.
Drugs are afraid that they'll be put out of business by cooperation with the death penalty process. If the doctors that they sell prescription drugs to are aware that they're supplying the drugs of death to places like Oklahoma, these companies are fearful that they'll lose prescription business.
Some suppliers won't let states use their drugs for executions. Those that do want their identities protected for fear of retaliation. A recent shortage of lethal injection chemicals has forced some states to try new drug combinations or use drugs from loosely regulated companies. The Food and Drug Administration has not approved any drugs for the use in executions.
But physicians, are, a lot of times, are not even involved in the process because it's a violation of medical ethics and the Hippocratic Oath to assist in putting somebody to death. So it's become a real amateur operation in terms of how we actually put people to death in the United
Holy
States.
Holy crap.
In fact, it's not even a doctor administering the deadly shot. Prison officials do it because the American Medical Association bans doctors from giving lethal injection.
Oh my goodness, this is new. I didn't even know some of this stuff. Which makes complete sense. So it's like, hey, we need help executing a guy. We need someone with a medical experience, and we need someone with a drug experience. Hey, drug company, will you give us some of those dead drugs? And they go, no. If anyone found out I was giving you death drugs, they'd be like, I'm not going to that place anymore. And then they're like, hey, doctor, can you help us put a needle in this guy's leg? And the doctor's like, no, I'm a doctor. Hello, I make people better. And so they're like, oh, we got nobody left to, except like the janitor of the jail. And all we have is his bucket of bleach to put in the IV line. So let's do that. Wow, I can't believe that. That's real bad. I wonder, I mean, maybe they should import some Canadian doctors or something, like from another country that know what they're doing instead of just having these inmates do it. It's a real mess, guys. Don't even, it's way too sad. This thing that we, I mean, obviously we're doing it to people who are definitely guilty, probably, of murdering and burying people alive. So they're horrible too. On the other hand, it's really not like, it's kind of like Game of Thronesy, to line people up and say, hey, we're going to inject the man with the death. Oh, there was that. Wait a minute. What am I doing? Okay, so here's the next video we have for today. Hopefully there's no ad. I think there's going to be one, though. Oh, wait. Got it loaded on another panel.
He was forcing inmates to fight, gladiator style.
What?
For his own sadistic
I haven't watched this video,
entertainment.
By the way.
At a news conference Thursday, public defender Jeff Adachi accused four white deputies at the San Francisco County Jail number 4 on the 7th floor of the Hall of Justice of forcing inmates of color to fight each other.
Probably some of the most troubling and outrageous conduct that I've seen in the 30 years that I've worked at the Hall of Justice.
He says deputies were betting on the fights and inmates complied out of fear for their lives. He also played audio interviews he conducted with two of the inmates.
Deputies betting against me and forcing me to fight, and in my own fight, and he's basically telling me that he was going to beat me up, cut me, and tase me all at once.
The public defender was tipped off to these allegations.
So if you couldn't make that out, he said, he told me to fight. If I don't fight, he's going to beat me up, cuff me, and tase me all at once, and then murder me and bury me alive. Garcia and others were forced into pugilistic matches. Four sheriff deputies then placed bets on their bouts. The race may have played a role. The deputies were white, and the coerced convicts were all colored. Well, that's probably because there were only coloreds in the jail.
The public defender was tipped off to these allegations earlier this month and came forward now because another fight was scheduled.
I'm extremely disturbed by it.
San Francisco County Sheriff Ross Mirkarimi was notified of the allegations just this morning. Appearing at the news conference, Mirkarimi said the inmates have been transferred to the San Bruno facility.
Boring. Oh my goodness, the deputies spurred Garcia's 350-pound adversary on. So he has 150 pounds, is supposed to fight a 350-pounder? And how do you win? Like in a jail fight, is it the first person who cries or what? Loses? Or the first person to bleed? First person to bleed or cry loses. We have breaking news. It has just popped up on my feed. We are going live to the breaking news. And I'm going to click on the thing. Uh-oh. I'm going to try to find another source for this news because CNN.com is retard. Amanda Knox is in court. Italian court hears final arguments and will rule on her conviction. Now, if you guys haven't been following Amanda Knox, she was guilty of murder, then she was not guilty of murder, then she was guilty of murder. And now it looks like a court has overturned again her murder conviction. If I go to CNN.com and check the breaking news, it is saying, well, it popped up and said Amanda Knox has been overturned. So if you guys hear about that this week, I just brought it to you seconds after it popped on the feed, came through the ticker line, came through my fax machine, came through my telegraph. And here's the thing, even if she is guilty of murder, they have to be like, hey, U.S., will you, like, send her here so that she can go to jail? Because she already went to jail and then got out once. And then, oh, man, it's a whole to-do. All right, let's get into the real news of this week, which really has to do with people on planes going up the planes.
So, Pastor, can you just take us through what happened? Because I understand you were in the third row just after takeoff. You felt a hand on your shoulder from this guy running up the aisle toward the cockpit. What happened then?
He was leaning forward as the plane was going up. And he.
This is in the United States from Virginia.
He was looking out the left-hand side. He was really occupied with the left-hand side. And his head was bobbing up and down as if, almost as if he expected a head to pop up outside the window. You know what I mean? Because
right.
he was looking all around and saying they, he was talking him back. And he turned and started heading towards the cockpit. And the guy in 3E was a lightning bolt and just jumped out of his seat and took the guy down to the ground.
And others.
Two quick-thinking passengers in the third row of a United flight to Denver tackled and subdued a man who was heading toward the cockpit. The incident occurred shortly after United Flight 1074 took off around 10:15 p.m. Monday. The Boeing 7 blah, 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 blah. The hero's seatmate piled on. So the guy is next to him. And so the first guy jumps on the crazy guy who's running up the aisle of the airline going, jihad, 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 apparently. I don't know. It's like that. Remember that pilot who went insane on the flight and like went out into the aisles and started opening the overhead containers and said, I'm so distraught. There's Iran and Iraq and the Iran and Iraq. And some passengers tackled him, like huge, like wrestler guys. Like they'd be fighting that Marco in the previous story in jail. Anyway, they tackle him and one of the guys goes, also, I'll show you Iran and Iraq as they're tying him up. I don't know what that even means, but that's hilarious. The Iran, the Iraq, I'm a pilot. Well, so a guy was running toward a flight, toward the front of a flight, yelling jihad, jihad, and nothing happened. So that was in the U.S. Okay, guys, let's get into the real news this week. It's terrible, actually. It's out of Asia? I have no idea. It's out of another country. There's a plane that happened to crash, and I'm happy that I've actually delayed the news show this week a little bit. And by delay, I mean there was no set time originally, so I can't really delay it. But the news show was not recorded earlier in the week, and one of the reasons was as soon as this plane crash came out, I was like, I need to do a show on the plane crash. No. You wait, because they're gonna find stuff, and then I'm gonna sound like an id, just talking about some plane crash. It's getting worse by the minute. So here's what happened. Originally, we found out that there was a passenger jet in the, I want to say it crashed in the Alps, and I don't even have my ducks in a row here, guys. So we're gonna pull up the full information on this plane. Okay, so it's a Germanwings plane. It's a Germanwings plane, flight 9525, who I think has crashed in the Alps. So, at first, they were like, oh, let's look at the radar. So it looks like the plane was traveling along. Then all of a sudden it started descending. And then it descended directly into a mountain. What the heck happened? We better go check for that voice recorder. So they go out searching for the voice recorder. They find it. And then it comes out that here's what the voice recorder contents sounded like they were. Okay. The pilot says to the co-pilot, you're going to take over for a bit. Pilot gets up. Pilot leaves the cabin, like the cockpit, not the cabin. He leaves the cockpit, presumably to go to the bathroom. We don't know what else happened. Maybe it was a blow. Maybe it was a master. But probably just a pedal. I'm the worst person. He gets back to the cockpit. Tries to open the door. Door doesn't open. Knocks on the door. Guy inside doesn't answer. Plane starts to descend. Plane is descending. Door to the cockpit is locked. Pilot bangs on the door. Pangs. Pilot bangs on the door. Banging on the door. Frantically trying to get in the door. Now, these are all reinforced steel doors because of that 9/11. We don't want those hijackers with their box cutters getting up there anymore. So we reinforced all of our steel doors so nobody can get in. That includes the pilot if the co-pilot is, if someone inside has locked it. Now you're saying, don't they have a key? Don't they have a code to get in? Yes. Here's how it works to my understanding. Now you guys may already know this because you pay attention to the news. Some of you maybe don't. Some of you maybe this is your only source for news all week long. So how it works, to my understanding, is that the door will automatically lock if you close it, right? The door has a code that you can type in to get into it. So the pilot would have the code and he would know how to get into the door. However, if there is someone on inside the door, the person inside the door can tell the code not to work. They can lock the door another way. That means the code won't even open the door. Now, in the U.S., the rule is, two people must be in the cockpit at any given time. That means if the pilot steps out to go to the bathroom, a flight attendant will step into the cockpit and accompany the co-pilot, which I suppose makes sense because if one of the two has a heart spaz in that exact moment, you don't want anything to happen, or you at least want someone else to be there to be like, hey, something's happening. I mean, it is real lucky that the pilot and co-pilot don't simultaneously die on some flights, right? I guess that's pretty, like, that'd be pretty rare or pretty unlikely. If it did, we'd have to go back to our Flight Simulator 2001 Microsoft training to try to land that thing. Anyway, pilot's banging on the door. Pilot gets an axe. Pilot starts hitting the door with an axe. It's not doing anything. Flight's descending, and it eventually booms into the mountain with the screams of terrified passengers on the recording. Again, this is not an uplifting show, folks. Do not get any false assumptions. Andreas Lubitz was breathing steady and calm in the final moments of German Wings flight, blah, blah, blah. It was the only sound from within the cockpit that the voice recorder detected as he sent the plane into its descent. So the pilot leaves. The guy immediately locks the door and changes the autopilot from 38,000 feet to 100 feet. So the autopilot is just like, and obviously 100 feet off sea level is going to be into a mountain. And so the pilot plane is just like, okay, I'm the autopilot. So he just set it to 100 feet and just like watched out the window as it crashed. Like, I have no, this is unbelievable, and this is why it's front page of every story. Now it's coming out today that he had these notes from a doctor that said, you're unfit to work. Please do not work these days. And one of the days was the days that he, like, crashed the plane. So it's sounding like he had a mental illness that doctors knew about and had told him he's unfit to work, and he didn't tell anyone. And he went to work anyway, and, like, it's not like he planned. It's not like he threw, like, a brownie outside the cockpit door. It was like, hey, pilot, want this pop brownie? Boo! Throw it at the door. Pilot goes to get it, and he shuts the door and locks it immediately. No. It's like, he waited. What if the pilot didn't have to pee that flight? Like, what then? What would he have done? Just waited till another flight? I guess. Like, I don't understand. You just wait. He's like, oh, this is my chance, I suppose. I'm going to lock the pilot out. Then I'm going to set the plane to 100 feet and crash it into a mountain? I guess it's big news because nobody wants to believe that their pilot could purposely crash the plane. It's happened before. Not very often. This is going to be one of the biggest ones that's ever happened, probably, but... during the descent, air traffic controllers repeatedly tried to contact the aircraft but got no response, nor did anyone on the plane convey a distress signal. CNN.com's top story right now says, unfit to work. Ripped up doctor's letter found in co-pilot's trash. Man, if you're going through a guy's house, you've got to empty out all of his trash and, like, take every piece of paper. So you've got to mix, you've got to go through the trash. There's going to be, there's going to be used socks in there. There's going to be masturbated paper towels in there. There's going to be notes from doctors in there. And then you got to find the notes from the doctors that are sticky from the paper towel, put it back together and read it and go, oh, says he's unfit to work. Boss, I got something here. A Dusseldorf clinic said he'd gone there twice, most recently 17 days ago, concerning a diagnosis. But it said it had not treated him for depression. German investigators still have interviews and other work to do before they'll be able to reveal just what they found in the records in Lubitz's apartment. So, again, I don't have all the details yet. It is still ongoing. Now, here's the other question I have. Every pilot... Okay, let's go back a step. So they say there was nothing else on the voice recorder but him breathing. Maybe that's true. On the other hand... what if it's not true? What if he, on the voice recorder, had like an 8-minute diatribe that he said? He was like talking the whole time. And so the investigators get the audio and they're like, oh my God, we cannot let this go out. He's trying to do, okay, it could be just one of several things. He's trying to expose us. Or he's trying to get his message out. We can't encourage this behavior. We better just tell the media that it was just breathing. Right? Like, if you have in your hand the only copy of the diatribe that a depressed pilot went on before he crashed the plane, do you release it? Or do you not release it because releasing it is saying, hey, if you're a depressed pilot and you want to say something, all you have to do is crash your plane while saying a thing, and everyone on Earth will hear it. That's pretty insane, right? Like, that, you can, like, this guy's famous. Everyone knows who he is. everyone would hear his message if he had one, and they released it. Something to consider. And that could be, like, they're like, why didn't they put it into a nosedive? Maybe he wanted to crash it gently so that that voice recorder didn't get smashed to bits. Although, I feel like it's going to get smashed to bits, like, no matter what. It's got to be pretty resilient. Okay, well, that is the latest on the plane crash with the pilot that did it on purpose, which is really horrible. Like, it's one of the worst. I mean, Air France is pretty bad, too. Those idiots that were flying across from France to the U.S. or whatever, and they didn't realize they were in a stall for, like, 12 minutes, and they just slowly drifted into the ocean because all of the pilots were just pulling up to... Like, when you're in a stall, you dip the nose down to gain more speed to pull out of the stall. They just kept pulling up, going, I wonder why we're not going any higher, because they didn't realize they're in an air stall the whole time. Those were dumb ones. But this one's insane. Oh, well. That concludes... News with... Reading the Nick. Thanks for listening. Till next time, thanks for subscribing to the PCL.